Welcome to the She Connects podcast. My name is Susan VandenHeuvel, and I am honored to be your host each and every week. This is an extension of my ministry, She Rises, that allows me to connect with women in the online space. You can learn more about me and my ministry at www.sherisesmn.org or simply tap the link in the show notes. But for now, let's dive into this week's episode. Well, hey, ladies, welcome back to the show. Yes, it's yours truly coming at you this week. I have a message on my heart that has really been stirring in me for a few weeks now, probably even maybe even a few months, but I just recently felt released to share it. But before I dive into that, I want to ask you, are you signed up to come to the She Rises Women's Conference in May? And if not, why aren't you? Oh my goodness, it's not going to be the same without you. And we've got a seat specifically for you. And if you were not aware, I had a birthday this past Sunday on March 10th, and I have a generous heart. I love giving things to people, and I decided that, well, I got to backtrack. You know, every year for the She Rises Women's Conference, I run some kind of promotional type thing. I mean, it's just kind of a common thing that event hosts do. And so I have a generous heart and I like to give things. I jump on board and I do that as well every single year. So this year I decided that I would run a promotional called 10 for 10. It's a birthday celebration celebrating yours truly. And I want to give a gift to you and anybody else that is in your sphere of influence, your sister, your mom, your pastor's wife, whoever. I am giving $10 off every single ticket beginning March 10th through March 20th. So 10 for 10. For 10 days, you can get $10 off every single ticket for the upcoming She Rises Women's Conference. And so if you've been on the fence and you've been waiting for a sign, this is your sign. You need to be there. I think about for a conference, I mean, where can you go to a conference, a two-day conference for $59? I mean, wow, that's such a steal. So anyway, I hope that you take advantage of that 10 for 10. For 10 days, you can get $10 off every single ticket from Sunday, March 10th through Sunday, March 20th. You can use the code RISE10 at the checkout. It is case sensitive, so make sure that you're using capital letters, but RISE10. And you can get your tickets and find all of the details, including where it's located this year, the times, all the things, by simply clicking the link in the show notes, sherisesmn.org. Just tap that link. It'll take you directly to my website. Go to the page that says 2024 events. Scroll down and you will find all of the details, including how to get your ticket right there at your fingertips. All right, so let's dive into this week's episode. Presence over performance. This is actually a two-part message I'm going to be sharing this week on presence over performance and just sharing my heart and what I believe God has placed on my heart for me to share this week. And then next week, my friend Jenny Randall will be joining me. She's actually a returning guest to the podcast, and we're going to be coming at this topic from another angle. So make sure that you come back next week to hear her heart. She's really been a favorite here on the podcast. And so come right back here next week and tune into the continuation of this topic, presence over performance. So if you know me even a little, you know that I don't shy away from hot button topics. I tend to hang out in the deep end of the pool. I don't do very well with shallow type conversations or fluffy type things. I want to go right for it. I want to dive right in. I tend to lean on the side of, you know what? I would rather hear hard, uncomfortable truths than listen to easy, comfortable lies. Is anybody else out there with me in that? And yet I want to encourage you, even though I am going there this week. So just wanting to encourage you that way, that I am going there. I'm not shying away from things because I have been deeply concerned about some areas for us as the body of Christ, and just really spending some time praying and talking about things with the Lord. I feel like I have a message for us. And I think that if we approach it in a way of, okay, I need to hear this, I need to lean into this, I think that you will be encouraged. And especially for those of you that are feeling like, man, I just feel like I'm not measuring up. I feel like my church services or my Bible studies or whatever it is that you might be doing just isn't enough. Like people aren't interested in what I want to share. It's the word of God, and nobody seems to be interested in what I want to share. This episode is for you too. So hang with me. I want to talk a little bit about just kind of where we're at. If we're going to do just kind of a spiritual kind of checkup, if you will, you know, do a little bit of maintenance, if you will, kind of similar to, you know, we go in for our annual physicals, we go in for our routine dental checkups, we have our eye exams, we, you know, do routine maintenance on our cars, we change the oil, we, you know, take it in to be serviced, all those types of things. I have really been burdened by just some things that I have been observing and hearing in the church, in the body of Christ. And so when I think about these things that I'm, you know, going to kind of get into here, I had to ask myself, and really just working this out, processing this with the Lord, because remember, like I said just a couple of minutes ago, I didn't just wake up with this burden. I didn't just wake up with this concern in my heart. This has been something that I've been working out with the Lord for, you know, a little while now. So when I was asking him, God, how did we get to this place? And you might be saying, well, what do you mean? What place? Where are we at? Hang with me. I'm going to get there. Just observing and thinking about different things, hearing some things and expressing just some concerns that I have with the Lord. And I asked him, God, how did we get here? How did we get to this place as the body of Christ? And I started thinking back to when I first gave my heart to the Lord. And I mean, that was over 30 years ago. My goodness, how things have changed in the church and in the body of Christ. My goodness, how, I mean, yeah, there's been some really great things. We've grown, we've stretched, we've leaned in, we've implemented some really great changes for the most part, staying steady with the word of God. But then things started to sort of shift and started to go in a different direction. And I think that it started with something that maybe it's a new term for you, but it's something that is often referred to in faith circles called seeker sensitive. So hang with me. Don't turn me off. I promise we're going to go somewhere here. I think that the original heartbeat behind that, because I try to be somebody who, you know, looks for the good and believes in the best in the intentions and the motives of people. And so I think that when we started introducing this seeker-centered type formula, if you will, initiative within the church, I think that we wanted to initially reach people, which is good, and it's very biblical. We should be focused on outreach. We were created for outreach, not in reach, although I do believe that we are now at a place where we do need to do some introspection and do some maintenance, a spiritual checkup within the church. So I think that all of those years ago, our motives and our hearts were in the right place. We wanted to reach more people. We wanted to see the church grow. We wanted to see people, whole households come to faith in Jesus Christ. We wanted to see impact. We wanted to see our youth groups grow. We wanted to reach young people. We wanted to have really great, impactful children's programs and women's ministries and prayer groups and all these different things. But it came with a cost. And here's what I mean by that. We started eventually, even though I think, and I do believe we started out really well, right? We started out really well. It wasn't too long after that that things started to change and the model started to change. The heartbeat, the desire began to change. And we started to shy away from preaching messages that encompassed the entire whole counsel of the Word of God, which included sin is sin. Sin is sin. And so now what has been the result and the fruit of that shift, that change, we now have a culture who can't handle, aren't interested in true unfiltered messages of the Word of God that are just like, they're true. They're unfiltered. It's the Word of God. Sin is sin. We're not giving the truth of the Word of God. And here's the thing with that. I don't know who said it, so I can't give credit to whoever said it. But it just really, I think, is so impactful when we really kind of apply it to what we're talking about this week. Sugar-coated messages always result in truth decay. Isn't that powerful? I mean, there's so much depth to that. Let me say it again. Sugar-coated messages results in truth decay. Woofta. Ooh, that'll preach right there. Now people get offended and even leave the church because the messages are quote-unquote unloving and judgmental. Pastors, church leaders, Bible study leaders, because, you know, this doesn't just apply to our Sunday morning services. This can be, you know, here on the podcast. I'm committed to truth, to the unfiltered Word of God. So it can apply, you know, across, you know, many different platforms. If you are sticking to the unfiltered Word of God, chances are you have gotten some pushback. You've gotten some resistance and maybe even received some comments and some feedback that, man, that sounds so judgmental. Wow, Jesus didn't judge anybody. And so who do you think you are? Man, I think that we have just really lost the reverential fear of God and to stick with the Word of God, the unfiltered truth of the Word of God, where now we are in a culture and it has infiltrated into the church that everybody has, it's almost like, well, not everybody, I don't want to make a generalized statement, but it has definitely this definition of truth in today's culture has infiltrated into the church, into our pulpits, into our Bible studies, in some places, not all places, because I know some really Bible-loving, Spirit-filled churches that are like, nope, we're not swaying from the Word of God. So they are out there. But this redefining of truth. Now we have this redefinition of truth that sounds like this. I'm just going to speak my truth and you speak your truth. I have my truth. You have your truth. It's okay if we don't necessarily agree. We can meet in the middle and we can agree to disagree. And that is deception. I'm going to be honest. I said it. I've said it a few different times here on the podcast. I've said it in conversations. I've said it in studies that I have led. I've said it in from the pulpit. And I refuse to shy away from that. I am willing to die on that mountain. There is only one truth. And Jesus said this of himself. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So truth isn't out there somewhere. Truth isn't found in any one person on this side of heaven. Truth isn't found in a well-written book. Truth isn't found in a famous quote, a famous person, a celebrity. Truth isn't found in even in someone that just is like a good moral person. Truth is found in the person of Jesus Christ. And so if we are going to be people who are fully committed, firmly rooted and established in the truth, and be people of truth, committed to that is what we're going to teach, that is what we're going to preach, that's how we're going to lead ourselves, is from a place of truth, we need to get to know truth. And that truth has a name. His name is Jesus. But we are living in this culture that now we don't want to support and align ourselves with that unfiltered word of God that is the uncompromised word of God, the uncompromised, unfiltered truth. Now, if we are committed to being people of truth, we are accused of being unloving and judgmental. Wow. Okay. So the Bible says, speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. We can't have one without the other. We can't have one without the other. Here's the thing. In all of the different opportunities that the Lord gives to me to be able to communicate the gospel, to share his heart, I don't care what opportunity, where it is, what platform it is, whether it's here on the podcast, I'm ministering within the federal state prison setting, I'm preaching from the pulpit, I'm leading a class, I'm being interviewed for a television program or a podcast. You know what? I'm committed to the truth. I'm committed to speaking the truth in love. And the thing is sometimes the truth, it does sort of like feel like sandpaper to our flesh. Sometimes the truth is uncomfortable. But like I said earlier, I am committed to hearing hard, uncomfortable, sometimes uncomfortable truths than easy, comfortable lies. That is where I'm at. That is the position that I have. And I refuse, I'm doubling down on it. And I refuse to be swayed from that. I'm refusing to be someone that drifts away from that. I don't want to do that. I want to drop my anchor and be firmly anchored in the word of God, in truth. I go back to speak the truth in love. We can't have one without the other. If we're just running around and building a doctrine on love, 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 well, yes, God is love, but you know what? God is also just. God is also holy. God is also righteous. And we have forgotten that part. If we are only building a doctrine on love, 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 well, then we forget truth. And then we're out of balance and our teachings are not balanced. Speak the truth in love. I remember back several years ago when someone had reached out to me to be their keynote speaker at their women's event. And I was honored, you know, anytime someone extends an invitation to me to, you know, be either a keynote speaker or even a guest on their podcast, or, you know, I've been interviewed for magazines and television programs. And I'm honored for that. I don't say those things to like, woo, look at me at all, but to say the Lord over the last 25 years of being in ministry has given me, allowed me to share the gospel in a variety of different platforms. And so I was honored that this woman extended this invitation for me to be their keynote. And as I was, you know, having a conversation with her, she asked me this question. And this is several years ago, and it just really still sticks with me, not in a like a spirit of offense, but just kind of stick with me here. She asked me, she said, can you be funny? She said, here's the thing. She said, the reason why I'm asking you is because our church is located not too far away from the movie theater, and we are competing with the local movie theater that is, you know, located not too far away from us. And so we need you to be funny. Do you feel like you can be funny this weekend? Wow. Okay. That was a huge red flag to me. And that I just had an immediate Holy Spirit check in my spirit that this is not the place for Susan, because I am not a comedian. I don't pretend to be a comedian. A comedian is not in my portfolio. It's not a part of my bio. I am not gifted as a comedian. If you are looking for someone to make you laugh, I am not your person. If you want me to come and preach the word, a message that is going to change the trajectory of someone's life, a message that comes from the word of God with truth and love, I mean, please hear me. It's not like I'm, you know, hell on fire, you know, that kind of fire and brimstone. I'm beating people over the head. That's not what I'm talking about here. But I am not a comedian. God has not called me to make people laugh. Now, can I introduce some lighthearted type things in my message? Yeah, I can do that. Do I do that? I do. Oftentimes I will interject like a personal story or something, especially, you know, in the introduction of my messages. But overall, my message is not fluff. My messages are not sugar-coated. My messages are not going to make you feel like you are at a comedy club. I am not your person. And so that was a check in my spirit. Here's the thing. You know, over the years, I've been accused of being too much. I've been accused of being, you know, like, you need to lighten up. And I remember even people in my own family would say to me, you know, like, this was like, oh man, many, many years ago. I've been serving the Lord now for over 30 years. But I remember people in my own family encouraging me, point blank telling me to my face, Susan, I think that you need to lighten up a little bit. I think that you're taking this a little too far. And I think that your convictions are a little strong. And I think that you need to lighten up a little bit. Well, I never did lighten up. And you know what? My family is serving the Lord today. I'm still here with the Lord. I'm still anchored in Him. I'm still anchored in the truth. And it's almost like I determined all those years ago, I'm going to go with God. And I'm still determined to this day, all those years later, I'm going to stick with the Lord. I'm going to stick with God. I'm going to stick with being anchored in Him, not anchored in opinions of other people, not anchored in the expectations that people may have of me, not anchored in the shifting sand of this world. I'm going to be firmly rooted and established and anchored in Him. Because you know what? I really wholeheartedly believe what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Do we want transformation? Do we want truth? Do we want lives to be changed? Do we want to see whole households come to faith in Jesus Christ? Man, we need to be people of the word. We need to be people of truth, right? Man, wow. So I've been sharing a little bit about this concern, and I had said earlier that I was going to give you some concerns that I have observed and heard that really just sort of kind of amped up the concern that I already had. So the concern was already there just through observation and conversation and things that I was seeing and hearing. And then recently, I was made aware of a couple of examples that I'm going to share here with you that just really was the tipping point for me. So I don't know if you are aware, but there is a church here in the States. Both of the examples I'm going to give you, they're two different churches, but one of the churches, and you can Google it, it's out there. I want to say that maybe it was on Super Bowl Sunday. You were using sort of, you know, like, so they came in football jerseys and that kind of thing. And I'm not even going to get into dress code and stuff like that. I think that can be kind of a religious spirit, legalism, like you have to be in, like, you know, a pantsuit and, you know, skirts down to your ankles and, you know, all of that. Do I think that we need to have respect for the pulpit? Absolutely. And so let's not show up in, you know, things that are not respectful of that. But do I think that people should not show up in jerseys? I am not saying that at all. But I'm kind of giving you painting a picture of this particular service at this church. So Super Bowl Sunday, they came with jerseys. And there were a few people on the stage, and they were about to demonstrate something by using the Bible. So they actually had a Bible in their hand, and they were going to illustrate a point. So somebody, you know, got down on the stage floor and was holding the Bible like someone would on a football team that is holding the football so the punter can kick the ball, okay, either through the goalposts or, you know, like they're gonna kick it to the opposing team because it's, you know, like it's in their possession now. So this person had their finger on top of the Bible, and yes, you heard me right, the Bible, the Word of God, the written Word of God. So picture this, I'm painting this picture. This person is knelt down on one knee. The Bible is standing upright. His finger is on top of the Bible, holding it, which is, you know, really demonstrating illustrating that the Bible is like a football. And then pretty soon someone else came from the opposite side of the stage and came kind of, you know, like approaching the Bible and kicked the Bible. And the Bible went flying either across the stage or it landed in, you know, like in the area of the congregants. I'm not sure exactly where it landed, but she did kick it. Yes, you heard me right. Wow. Okay. When I saw that, I actually watched it two or three times because I was so, like, just dumbfounded. I was speechless. I thought, oh man, that is the Bible. I mean, the first time I saw it, I actually said out of my mouth, is that the Word of God? Is that the Bible? And so I replayed it. And yes, it was. It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. And they just kicked it. They just kicked it across the stage. The Word of God, the reverential written Word of God, the holy, infallible Word of God. Wow. Another example. Very recently in a different church, the Bible was used yet again as an illustration. And this particular pastor took out on a Sunday morning church, using the Bible as an illustration, brought a bottle of syrup and a can of whipping cream and proceeded to pour out syrup over various things on the platform, including the Word of God. Set the bottle down, grabbed the can of whipping cream, and then proceeded to, you know, spray that on different things on the platform, including the Bible. Wow. So this is where we're at. So this is where we're at. You know, some would say, yeah, but Jesus taught in parables. And you're right, he did. But this is not that. This is not that. This is a lack of fear, reverential fear for God. plain and simple. This is a lack of reverential fear and respect for the Word of God and for God in His holiness and in His righteousness, period, plain and simple, nothing else. Nothing else to say. There is no debate here. There is no debate here. I mean, wow. I mean, this should be concerning to everybody who calls themselves people of faith. This should be alarming to all of us, to every single one of us. How did we let it get this far? How did we get here? Well, it was a slow drift. It was a slow drift. It started, like I pointed out earlier, it started several years ago, many years ago, and here's where we're at. The church doesn't need more slick preachers. It needs to return to the reverential fear of God. The church doesn't need more systems and formulas. It needs the power of the Holy Spirit. The church doesn't need more fancy aesthetics. It needs God's glory. It needs men and women who are more hungry for His presence than how well they performed. God isn't looking for performers. He's looking for surrendered, consecrated servants, consecrated, surrendered women and men who are willing to say, God, You are holy, and I want to serve You well, from a place of yielding, of humility, recognizing that You are holy, You are righteous, You are just. Yes, You are loving, but You're also these things. And please hear me. I love the church. Please don't send me messages, and please don't turn me off, and please don't walk away from this misunderstanding what I am saying and putting words in my mouth and saying that I don't like the church and I'm throwing the baby out with the bathwater and forget this, the church is done. Listen, Jesus gave His life for the church. He gave His life for the church. The church isn't going anywhere. He said, I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But again, truth in love, we have become a compromised church. We have drifted away. And this is how we have gotten here. And this applies to, it's not only at Sunday morning services, this applies to our small groups, our Bible studies, our prayer services, conferences, it applies to podcasts and other things. This, please hear me, this is not just for, lead pastors at Sunday morning services. This applies to me. This applies to me. This applies to you as people of faith. I don't care if we don't hold a role, have a title or a position in a traditional way. We are still a part of the body of Christ, and we are called as the body of Christ to live holy and consecrated and righteous lives, surrendered in humility, living in the holy reverential fear of our God. All right, so I said that I wanted this to be encouraging to you. And so you might be thinking, wowza, okay, this was a little much, this was a little heavy. So now what? Where do we go from here? Well, I want to offer us some tips that I think are really going to bring us back to the place that I think, first and foremost, God wants us to be, because I do believe that He is raising up a remnant in this hour who are unashamedly, unapologetically sticking with the Word of God, the unfiltered, uncompromising Word of God. So number one, repentance, right? Repentance. Repentance is still necessary. Repentance is not outdated. Repentance is not legalism. Repentance is not, a core value of like your grandma and, way back over here. It is still relevant. It is still timely. It is still necessary today in this hour. Repentance. I forget I forget who it was, maybe Leonard Ravenhill, I think, way back all those years ago, fantastic author. I would humbly encourage you to read some of his stuff. One of the books that I think was really impactful to me was his book titled Why Revival Tarries. And I think it was in that book where he said that revival comes on with a bent knee and a wet eye. I think that was Leonard Ravenhill. Don't quote me on that. But I think that was who said that. Regardless, it doesn't matter who said it. It's a powerful truth. And it's still relevant today. A revival comes through repentance. On a bent knee, humbling ourselves in repentance with a contrite, humble heart, and a wet eye, weeping over, grieving over sin and unrighteousness and unholiness, like grieving over the things that God's heart is grieved over. Repentance, number one, we have to start there. Number two, as faith leaders, and again, this applies to anybody, irregardless if we're holding positions or roles or have titles or all of that stuff. We need to be people, men and women, who check our hearts and our motives, invite him into our decisions. And if his hand isn't on it, then we need to use wisdom and humbly set that idea aside. It might be a really great idea. We might be really excited about it. We might be feeling like, man, this could really, really be impactful. This could really go far. This could really have a far-reaching impact. And maybe there's nothing wrong with the idea, but is God's hand on it? Man, because here's the thing. If we're out there just kind of doing our own thing and just, you know, kind of coming up with our own stuff and coming up with a plan and hoping God follows it and God blesses it, whoo, that's a little prideful and that's dangerous. That's dangerous. I learned a long time ago the hard way. Ask me how I know that, because I learned it the hard way, that it is not wise and it is never a good thing for Susan to come up with a plan and hope that God follows it. He is not obligated to bless and to place his hand of blessing and favor and anointing upon anything that I first have not sought him and invited him into and asked him if this is a direction that he wants me to take. We have forgotten that. And I think that in addition to that, it just creates striving on our part because we're trying to produce the results. Well, when we partner, when we get the direction from God and then we partner with him, we partner with his Holy Spirit, he puts his super on our natural, and that is how supernatural results happen. That is how supernatural fruit it takes place in people's lives and in our ministries and in our churches. That is how. It's not in my own sense and reason. Listen, I am not smart enough to pull things off in and of myself. I can't rely upon myself. I can't figure these types of things out. I need to humble myself and go before the Lord and say, God, I'm thinking about doing this, whatever this would be, fill in the blank. I feel like maybe you have spoken this to me. This is on my heart. God, will you speak into this? God, will you confirm this? Will you? I mean, so it's really just humbling ourselves and saying, I need you. God, I need you. Because apart from you, first of all, I am nothing. Apart from you, I can do nothing. I need you. God, I need you. I need you and I need your Holy Spirit. Number three, we need to be people who are committed to doing spiritual background checks. At a lack of better words, that's kind of what I refer to it as, spiritual background checks into decisions that we are contemplating in who we are inviting to fill our pulpits, to collaborate with, to maybe even perhaps co-lead a Bible study or, you know, whatever the case might be. Who are we inviting into these things? What is their message? What is the fruit in their lives? Can you see godly fruit in their lives? Where are they at? Are they themselves like committed to the local church? Are they, you know, what is their platform? What is their message? What is the fruit in their lives? Are the things that they believe in and the things that they are doing and things that they are promoting, is it biblical? Wow, man. And here's the thing. We as leaders, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. I have a tremendous amount of responsibility. I used to fill roles within the local church, and God closed that season in my life. And so I may not have a traditional role, a title within the local church, but you know what? I am the leader and the founder of She Rises. I am the creator and the host of this podcast. I author books. I speak at other places. I lead Bible studies. I create and lead e-courses. I have a responsibility. You know, the Bible says not many of you should become teachers. Why? Because it comes with an added amount of responsibility and accountability. Why? Because we are leading people, because we are speaking into their lives. We are taking them somewhere as leaders. And so that comes with an added accountability and an added responsibility. And I don't know about you, but that gives me a reverential fear of the Lord. Like, ooh, who am I inviting in? Who am I allowing to speak at She Rises? Who am I allowing on my podcast? What's their message? What's the fruit in their lives? Ooh, wow. Maybe we need to shore some things up there. Number four, can I humbly encourage you to stick with the word? Stick with the word. And it goes back to what I was saying earlier, really at the beginning of this week's podcast episode. I think that so many of us, myself included, if I'm just going to be honest, there's this little like, I don't know, a little bit of discouragement when it seems like people aren't interested in what you are, the message that you're carrying, because it's too, they feel like it's too much. It's not loving enough. It's judgmental. It's critical. When really what you're doing is you are sharing the uncompromised word of God. And so, like I said earlier, people, because of just where we're at in our world, and as I said, it has infiltrated into some areas of the church, it's like people all of a sudden, they don't want to be a part of that. They don't want to, you know, sign up for your class. They don't want to attend your Bible study. They don't want to go to your church anymore, whatever the situation is. And so we can become a little discouraged by that, and then even tempted to start introducing messages that are a little bit compromising and a little bit just, you know, like not like a whole bag of sugar on our teachings, on our messages, just, you know, just like a little bit, just a little bit. Cause I want to reach people and I want to attract people. Listen, don't do it. Don't do it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it to compromise your convictions. God will always honor you for staying rooted and established and fully anchored in the uncompromising word of God. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't change course now. Stick with the Lord. He will continue to raise you up. Believe that He is going to bring people who want to hear the truth. And I believe, in all honesty, while I mentioned all these other concerns that I am seeing and that I, ooh, I'm just really burdened with, I do believe that we are seeing a movement of people that are rising up and they want the truth. They're tired of all this other stuff and they want the truth. They are only interested in the word of God, the uncompromising word of God, and they want to hear it. They want to walk in it. They want to receive it. And they're not willing to tolerate all this other stuff. And I firmly believe it's because It's because, like I said, God is raising up a remnant in this hour. And I believe that there have been so many things happening in the world, and people are starting to wake up. People are like becoming awakened in their faith, which is a really good thing. So for you, if you are feeling discouraged and you have been tempted to think, ooh, maybe I just need to kind of lighten up a little bit. Maybe you're the one that has been hearing, you need to lighten up. You're too much. Your messages are too strong. I just want to encourage you, stay the course. Stay the course. Don't pull up your anchor now and allow yourself to drift off course. Don't do it. Stay anchored in the Lord. Number five, this is the last one. Allow the time for God to move in whatever it is you are doing. Allow the Holy Spirit time to move. So what do I mean? Well, live your life interruptible. So sometimes I think that we are so busy, you know, just, you know, going through our day. And I have been guilty of that as well. You know, I got things I got to do, and my calendar seems really tight. My schedule is really tight. I have a really full week. And so I'm just like buzzing along. And sometimes we need to be reminded to see the person in front of us, perhaps even at the grocery store or the hair salon or the person doing your nails, and to, you know, kind of try to speak into their life and build a relationship and engage them in conversation, allowing ourselves to be interruptible, allow ourselves to be used of God, to be Spirit-led, and giving Him room to move in not only the things that we're leading, like our Bible studies and our church services, but in my life, in my schedule, in my calendar, at my appointments, in my conversations, at the coffee shop, all those different things. Let's be people who are committed to these things. Are you with me? I hope that you are, because we need you. We need you. We need people who are willing to stay the course and stay anchored in Christ. All right. I hope that this was encouraging for you. Know that I am championing you forward in all the things that God is calling you to and all of the things that He has ahead for you. I just want to close by praying over you. Father God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you will just encourage your people that are listening today. I pray that God, you will speak to their hearts what you know their heart needs to hear. I pray that you will encourage their hearts, God. I pray that you will fan their faith back into flame. I pray, Father God, for just a re-infilling, God, of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you will affirm your people. I pray that you will confirm to them that they are right where they're supposed to be. And Lord, that you will bring people to them that are supportive and are encouraging to them. Lord, I pray that you will help us, God, that you will breathe a fresh wind of courage to each and every one of us to rise up in this hour and be a part of the remnant that you are raising up in this hour, to lay it all on the line for you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, take care, and I'll catch you right back here next week.
Thank you so much for joining me this week. It was great connecting with you. Hey, would you do me a quick favor that would mean the world to me? Would you go ahead and leave a few stars and a review or even a comment? It not only means so much to me, but in the online space and the podcasting world, the more stars, reviews, and comments that a podcast receives, the further the reach. It ranks up a little bit higher in Google searches, which then results in reaching more women with this amazing content. So if you are blessed and enjoying, you know, just the content that you are hearing here on the podcast, would you go ahead and leave a few stars, a review, and some comments? It means the world to me. Thank you so much, and I'll catch you right back here, same place, same time next week.